Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We have Jeff Amplement. He is the planning project manager over at NFTA. Jeff, thank you so much for joining the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Good afternoon.
Jeff, now, we talked about this a lot yesterday, took some calls from people in the area on the rail expansion. What can you tell us about the current plans for the NFTA rail expansion?
Sure. I mean, at a high level, we're proposing to expand high-capacity transit from where the Metro Rail currently ends at the UB South Campus and University Station through the towns of Amherst and Tonawanda, connecting to the UB North Campus and really just beyond to the I-990. The proposal has 10 proposed stations, two park and rides, an end-of-the-line storage facility, and would essentially double the length of our rail system.
Now, this would cut down the Boulevard and Maple in Amherst, correct?
Yep, and also including Sweet Home through the UB North Campus and then following Audubon to the Northern Terminus.
Would this take away driving lanes on those roads?
The short is yes. The short answer is yes. It depends what roads and what portions of them, but on the whole, there would be a road diet to accommodate the surface running rail plan.
Now, you've talked... You've talked with town officials in Amherst. Have you talked with government leaders in Erie County?
Yep, that's correct. So we have an entire committee. It's called the Technical Advisory Committee. That's made up of state and local stakeholders throughout the community. That includes both towns, Erie County, the Department of Transportation. And over this entire process, which has spanned over 10 years now, really, since we did the alternative analysis for the project, we've coordinated with them on all matters of the project, including traffic, potential impacts and all the related stuff in the environmental impact statement.
So let me ask you this, because Jeff, I grew up taking the train. I grew up on Mount Vernon, right? So I took the train everywhere. I mean, we would go down to South Campus Station, go downtown every Sabres game. It was on the train. When I lived at Medea College, I would take the train. It was right there. But, you know, we took a lot of calls yesterday from people who said, yeah, you know, I mean, the train's never been a convenient option for me. Why would I start taking it now? I'm used to getting in my car and driving. Do you think that mindset changes for the people that will be in close proximity? And how do you get those people to take advantage of something like this?
Yeah, you know, it's really all about options at the end of the day, right? We're providing a transportation, a mobility option for folks that have the opportunity to use other modes, whether it's a car or something else. Now, a big portion of our ridership doesn't have that option, right? I mean, we serve a lot of transit-dependent populations, you know, folks with disabilities, young folks, older folks, and students particularly too, right? And those folks depend on our services to connect to opportunities throughout the community, right? So we have to weigh the two kinds of riders, right? Those that, you know, maybe they'll take it sometimes to a Sabres game, but they don't have to. But then those that really depend on us as part of their quality of life.
You know, we had Sean Lavin in here on Monday, and he is the deputy supervisor for Amherst. He's running for supervisor of Amherst in November, and he said he does not believe, as this stands right now, to be a realistic option. What is your response to the deputy supervisor?
I think, you know, over the past few years, we have done everything we can to position this project to compete for funding, right? We believe we have a good project here. We think it's competitive for federal discretionary funding. And, you know, everything that happens politically is kind of out of our hands. But every decision we have made for this project, whether it's the route, the corridor, the alignment, the mode, has all been with the eye of how can we position this to secure funding.
Let me ask you a question about back to the drawing board here. So right now, the train South Campus is underground. Of this expansion, what would be, if anything, underground and what would be above ground?
Sure. The underground portions are very limited. It would just be near the southern portion of the alignment. That's Kenmore Avenue. The line would come above ground very close to the intersection of Kenmore and Niagara Falls Boulevard, and then it would be at grade running pretty much the entire rest of the way, except the intersection of Maple and Sweet Home. We would just cause a lot of traffic conditions if we ran through that intersection, so we proposed to actually go under that, that intersection in a limited tunnel as well.
So a limited tunnel, but it would still come above ground before getting to North Campus?
Absolutely, yeah. It would be above ground for most of Sweet Home.
Now, this obviously connects the UB campuses. What is their role in this expansion, maybe in funding, which I know is the state? What's their role in all of this, in this development?
You know, we have a very good working relationship with the university. We have had a lot of coordination over the past year on what this could look like on the campus, you know, particularly like how do we integrate the stations to the campus from a design perspective. They have some ambitious plans for that North Campus, frankly. With a growing student body, they have, you know, plans to make it a more walkable, pedestrian-friendly campus. And light rail has been part of their long-range plans really since the campus was developed in the 1970s. So the way we look at it is we're just kind of completing a project that has, you know, been around for the past 40 years. But for a variety of reasons, we just weren't able to do it when we built the original line.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, something I've always said, obviously, I was not around for the original plans. But, you know, I look at those plans and I think, man, I think you, and again, I mean, I know we're talking about the plans that are in place here, but I think this would be so much easier to sell on people if that original plan, if it had just gone to the airport. I think so many people, do you think you'd have less criticisms of this expansion if the original, and I know you weren't part of it, Jeff, but if the original had at least gone to the airport?
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know, the airport is one of many other corridors that we've looked at as potential rail expansions or just rapid transit expansion in general. But the fact of the matter is that this corridor, so between the UB campuses, the Amherst corridor, including existing rail in the city of Buffalo, has the highest ridership potential, has the highest economic development potential, and serves the greatest number of activity centers. It's the highest concentration of people and jobs in the entire region. That's what makes public transit tick. And if we're going to secure funding for this, this is the most competitive option. If we can't do it here, we're not going to be able to compete on any other corridors in the future.
Now, obviously, yesterday the calls were, you know, why are we doing this? And then the other people, you know, who live in the area, were talking about the concerns of what this would mean during construction. So do you have an idea of what that would look like?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely a ways off from construction, right? So let's not get, you know, ahead of ourselves. But, you know, as part of the EIS, we are required to identify mitigation measures where any potential impacts are. And that is an area that we've taken a pretty significant look at, you know, asking questions, how do we maintain access to businesses? How do we maintain access to the residents around there? How do we limit construction periods so it has the least disturbance for folks? We're going to have an entire construction plan for this as we get closer to that. But we still have several years of design to get through, and construction really not happening closer till the end of the decade. So I think we have time to work that out. But it's something we take very seriously and we're already looking at.
Now, am I crazy? I could be crazy. Like, I could be. My memory sometimes does not do me well. Was there a plan originally that had this going further down the boulevard?
So beyond Maple?
For some reason, Jeff, and maybe I made it up in my head, there was a drawing that had it going down the boulevard to Willow Ridge and going to UB that way. Did I make that up?
I am not familiar with that.
Okay.
You know, we've vetted this LPA, the locally preferred alternative, now for several years. And I think, you know, just the way the development patterns are in this community, where the commercial centers are and retail, I think the Niagara Falls Boulevard to Maple kind of makes the most sense for us.
Now, I know this was one of two, right? There was also a proposed rapid bus alternative to the rail, correct?
That's correct. Yep. That's evaluated in the EIS.
So you look at this, now you said, you know, there's years of planning, but realistically, if this all goes through, when would we see the first train to UB North?
You know, we expect about a 4-year construction period. If we have, let's assume 3 more years of design, we probably wouldn't have shovels in the ground until 2028 timeframe, and with operations early in the new decade. So let's say 2032 as an estimate.
Now, for funding, I know we touched on this a little bit, but where is the funding from this coming from?
So the federal program that we have targeted to help pay for the capital costs is the Capital Investment Grant Program that's administered by the United States Department of Transportation. It's a discretionary program. It helps fund fixed guideway projects all across the country. That typically pays for about half of the costs of these projects, with the other half coming from state and local funding sources.
Well, Jeff, I said this yesterday. I'll say it again. If the train came out to Clarence Center, where I live now, I would still be taking the train. My mom took the train to work for 20 years. She works from home now, but she took the train for 20 years. I am not anti-train, and if this works, great. But I'm sure we'll be talking a few more times between now and construction. But I appreciate you answering some of the concerns of the audience.
No, thank you. And I share that, too. You know, I'm actually an Amherst resident, and I live in the southern portion of Amherst. I take the train downtown every single day. I find it very convenient, and I'm one of these choice riders. I could drive if I wanted to, but I find that there's a lot more value in that transportation mode. So I know there's more people like me.
You know, Jeff, one final question. I've got to assume that city officials are pretty happy about this. You know, they have 25,000 less people going downtown a week. They probably are eyeing something like this that would increase traffic to downtown Buffalo.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the corridor is not all driven to traffic to Amherst. In fact, you know, there's a lot of people that obviously live in the town of Amherst that come into the city for work, but also vice versa. There's a lot of city residents that need access to jobs in the surrounding community outside of the city, right? I mean, there's a lot of service sector, educational jobs in the Amherst corridor. So we're providing a connection for both communities.
All right. Well, Jeff, we appreciate you joining us. And I'm sure, like I said, we'll be talking a few more times throughout this process.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.